You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're looking at words to live by, and thus far we've looked at the word kindness. I'd love us to just leave out of here this year, try to be kind to everybody. Then we saw the word forgiveness. I wonder who you have to forgive tonight. Oh, we have so many people in life, perhaps. And then we looked at the word correction. Next week, we're going to change our Bible study. There's a special bulletin that you'll receive for the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is always such a blessing, and I look forward to that. But tonight, we're going to look at an important word. Most people have not conquered this word. Most people are on the stretch for more things. I see people fanning in here, Kevin. I don't know if it's too hot or not, but you just take a look, please. But people are on the stretch. I have heard this to be true. I don't know if it's true. You can look it up online and tell me if it's true. But I understand when a person is born in this world, they're grabbing. Their hands are going like this. First year or two, you see them grabbing at everything. But I hear that when they die, and of course I know Gunsmoke, the guy dies with a gun in his hand, but they say that's not how they die. They die with their hand open. Now, I don't know if that's true. I think it is. If it is true, you can't take it with you. You just can't take it with you. You leave everything behind. And God's word wants us to learn contentment. Contentment is the answer for your life, and I want you to write it down tonight, perhaps in this Bible study. God wants us to have contentment. And we're going to look at that word contentment, and what it means in the New Testament, but it means some different things in the Old Testament. Let me give an illustration. If you want to write it down, number one, contentment in Genesis 37:27. Come now, these are Joseph's brothers, come now, let us sell him into the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And the brothers were content. The word content is not the same as you see in the New Testament. The word content here just simply means that they're in agreement. And so they agreed. These 10 brothers agreed. Let's sell Joseph. Let's put him into bondage. Chapter 37 through chapter 50 is really my favorite Old Testament Bible story of Joseph and his brothers and how he became a second in command in Egypt, and he took care of his brothers and his fathers about 20, 25 years later. But I want you to know that in that regard, contentment is we agreed together. We agreed together to do wrong. You know, when you do wrong, you generally don't do wrong by yourself. You do wrong with a group. That's why in Proverbs chapter 1, a father says to son, walk not thou in the way of them. Amen. That's why it says in chapter 4, avoid them. Yeah. Don't go that way. You know, as Christians, we got to take a stand for what's right. Amen. The second time we see the word contentment is Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21, that Moses was content to dwell with his father-in-law. And it was the same word. I'm in agreement. I'm willing to work for your daughter, my wife. I'm content. The third time is Joshua 7:17. In Joshua 7, Joshua gets very discouraged. How can the leader get discouraged? How could I ever get discouraged pastoring a church like this? And quite frankly, I can't think of the last time I was discouraged. I can't think of a day that I've not had something happen that discourages me. But I'm not going to live on discouragement happening. I just determined. I've used up too many days of my life. I'm too near my heavenly home to get discouraged now. I don't want to live one day discouraged. I know I've not been the one, these four injuries that my wife has gone through in the last 20, 22, 23 months. So it's not me. I've not been discouraged one day with her. I've not been discouraged with one moment. When it looked like cancer, and she had that cancer surgery, I wasn't discouraged. I was very concerned, very bothered, and I still drive her crazy because she drives me nuts. She thinks she can do whatever she wants to do. I'm preaching to you, and I'll see you at the invitation today. She thinks she can walk upstairs without me. She cannot walk upstairs without me. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, she can't walk down the stairs without me. But you know, and I don't mean this wrong. I've never been discouraged about it. Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine all of the time. Why should I care if the storm clouds hang low? Jesus is with me, I know. God has a plan for my life.
Amen.
God has a plan for your life. And Moses said, I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. The fourth time, by way of introduction, where we see this word is 2 Kings in chapter number, if you're writing it down, 5, verse 23, where Nahum was healed. And Nahum came and said, I want to give you garments, and I want to give you silver, and I want to give you precious stones. I want to give you all these things, 2 Kings chapter 5. And the man of God said, I don't want that. Elisha said, I don't want that. But his assistant, Gehazi, heard it. And Gehazi ran after Naaman and said, my master — his master never sent him — my master sent me. And I'm wondering if I could have some of those garments and some of that gold. And he lied, and he got them. And the Bible says in this text that he was content. That word content is different than in agreement. This is pleasant to me. I like this. The next time you see it, and we're going to get to our lesson here, was Mark 15. In Mark 15, verse 15, Pilate has Jesus standing before him. And he said, whether the twain shall I release unto you? And he was content to release Barabbas. When he uses this word content, he said, it's appropriate. It's amazing how, Carl, we can convince ourselves, this is appropriate to do, but it wasn't appropriate. Take your Bibles tonight with me as we've seen that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, shall we? Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see what Philippians calls, and the New Testament calls, contentment. Contentment is just simply this. Are you ready? What is contentment? Well, let's read some scripture and let's see if we can figure it out. Philippians 4, verse 11, please. Not that I speak in respect of — let's read it together. 4:11. Philippians 4:11. Ready? Begin. Not that I speak in respect of want. Content means enough. I've got enough. It's amazing in life. We spend our life gathering things to ourselves. You Bible college kids, you're getting married this summer, several of you, and you have nothing. Ms. Treber and I had nothing when we got married. We just had an old table I built for the kitchen table. It cost me 65 cents, I think, to build that table. We got her dad's bedroom set. I refinished it. We got an orange rug given to us for our living room. We just had nothing. But you know, God's blessed us. And in blessing us, we've gotten things. Every room in our house is filled. But you know what's going to happen to every room in our house? If the Lord lets us tarries and lets us live, we're going to start to downsize. And we've already started. And we're going to get rid of this, and we're going to get rid of this. And then we're going to say, you know, this house is too big for us to handle. I can't keep up on it. and we're going to move into an apartment. And then if the Lord tarries, we may have to move into a nursing home someday. My parents had to do that. They had a beautiful house built in 1970, and it was beautiful, four bedrooms, a dining room, a family room, a living room. It was beautiful, white carpet, beautiful. But you know, as they got older, they had to give up that house. I remember my dad, I said, "Dad, Judy, my sister's gonna take you away for the day, and I'm gonna clean your garage, and I'm gonna get rid of all your tools that you've worked a lifetime to get. Some of them are out in the bus yard, but most of them are gone." And I said, "I'm gonna have to get rid of everything." I'll never forget, later that day, about 5 hours later, he came back. And the garage was completely empty, completely empty. I didn't tell him what most of it I had to throw away. But I could tell it wounded him. He said, "Jack, where'd you put my stuff? Where'd you put my stuff?" And I said, "Well, Dad, we had to just deal with it." Well, he knew he was going to on Lick Mill to a little apartment here. He had no garage. But it had to wound his heart. Everything had to go away. Then the next move, they had to move into a smaller apartment. Then into a nursing home facility. You know, when they died, they had nothing left. It took my wife and I, it took us about 10 minutes to get rid of my mother's stuff, didn't it? She had one dress left. She had some pajamas. They lived in a single room, just a single room, and a little bathroom. That's all they lived. They didn't have a kitchen. Just a single nursing home room. And then 2 years later, my dad died in the same bed at the same place. They had nothing. It just took us a few minutes to get rid of it. Why is it that we are always grabbing for more? It's in our nature. I want you to see, first of all, that to be content is a learned behavior. Would you just write that down? Contentment is learned behavior. Look what he says in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have," what's the word? Learned. Learned is developed character. I don't need to have as much as I have. That's what God's word is saying. I know all of our teenagers, you're all into Nikes. And I think it's wonderful. I think Nike shoes are great. It's wonderful. My grandkids bought me a pair for Christmas. Too small. I'm going to get a bigger size. But I love Nike shoes. They're beautiful. They're great. But I dare say that every teenager has more than one pair of Nikes. Yes. Yes. More than two. More than four. They have so many pairs of Nikes. And that's not wrong. I don't want to have one of these attitudes. "Well, you know, when I was a kid, I had one pair of shoes, and one was red and one was white. They weren't even the same color." I never had that, kids. I always had enough. But God says it's learned behavior. I think, Brother David, you are certainly not old. But I think that comes with age. You begin to learn, I don't need all these things. I'm thinking about in my life, I don't need. I try to get rid of something in the garbage or at Goodwill or give it to someone every day of my life. Amen. There's not a day, and it happened a few years ago. I just try to get rid of things. I try to get rid of this and get rid of that. I don't want my kids. I don't want Tabitha and Chris because they're going to be stuck because Tim's not coming here to clean out our house. I guarantee it. Tim, are you listening? He's not coming. And Tiffany just said, "Well, throw it all away. We don't want it. So that's Tiffany. So Tabitha's going to get our house to deal with it. You know, I don't want them having to deal with junk. And I've learned that I don't need everything I have. That didn't happen. Brother Martinez, that didn't happen when I was 25, young married man. When I was 25, I was trying to get things. But I got older, and I don't need all those things. I've got so much I need to give away. And young people, God says that's learned. That becomes, most of us, you have a two-car garage. You can't get one car in. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Because you got so much stuff in there. I got a neighbor over here. She's lived in these houses 65 years. Her husband passed away. She's the sweetest lady. And I'll stop and I'll talk to her. She's out there. She's elderly. She'll pull weeds. I said, let me help you with that. I just always talk to her. She's the sweetest lady. You know, she has a garage that when she opens the door, it has clothes in it from the floor of the ground to the ceilings, and the entire garage is filled with clothes. I mean, from floor to ceiling, from wall to wall to wall to wall. You can't walk in there. There's not an avenue to walk in there. She just has, and it's going to take a huge couple loads of dumpsters to get rid of it. I wonder how many rats are in there. I wonder how many rats have eaten the clothes. For some reason, she saves all this stuff. What are you saving today that you ought to get rid of? I have learned. It's a learned behavior. I have learned the decision, and it takes time. Young people, it takes time to learn it, but you're going to learn it. Don't learn it too late in life. Rick Martin, that in the Philippines, Brother Pus, he learned it. He learned it early in life. I've been here 50 years. He's been there 49. He's going to soon have 50 this year. Rick Martin went there 50 years ago. He has never, ever owned an automobile. He doesn't own a car. He walks out the door, gets a jeepney, not air conditioned. It rides him wherever he has to go. He doesn't own a car. Many of you have been to his house. His house, there's open, he's on the property line, and on this side of the property, there's open sewage. His house, much of the time, smells from the open sewage. Running down the mountain, past his house, out into the street, open sewage. He has water that runs 3 days a week, and he's got a galvanized bucket that sits in the bathtub, and it catches any drops of water. He lives that way. I've said it before. I said, Rick, I've got enough builders in our church. Let us come and tear your house down. We will build you North Valley Baptist Church, and you'll say amen. We'll build you a house, Rick. I remember the last time I told him that. I haven't told him in years. Becky got a tear in her eye. His wife, she said, oh, Brother Treiber, we live so much better than most of our people. I don't want a better house. I tell you what, I hope when I get, Brother Van Dyke, Sister Jackie, I get to heaven, I'm going to take a back seat and just watch the crowns that that man gets for serving God. He sacrificed. He's had malaria 6 times. He weighs 115 pounds. But he works nonstop, Brother Fanera. He just works nonstop. He's always working. He's always carries his clipboard and he's writing things down constantly. He's just busy. But he's learned. He's not building castles down here. He has learned whatsoever I have learned, I've learned to be content.
Amen.
If we can learn contentment, the second thing I want to point out to us quickly tonight, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, please. And I see my time is about up in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, I'll try to get done. In Hebrews 13, let your conversation is your behavior, your way of life, your manner of life. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with what things you have. You know, Jacob and Esau divided over things. Jacob stole the birthright of his brother. He stole it. And he supplanted him twice. And Esau hated his brother. He hated his brother. He wanted to kill his brother. And so they fled. And for about 25 years, they're separate. And then the day comes. Esau's come with 450 men. Jacob's scared to death. He's got all his children and relatives, and they're all coming. He's scared to death. And they meet for the first time. Jacob calls him repeatedly, "My Lord, my Lord." But remember, they fought over the fact that he said, I'm gonna rule over you. Now he doesn't want to rule over him. And Esau said, "I have a present for you, my brother." And he gave him a present. And here's Jacob's words, "I have enough. I don't want that present." And Jacob gave his brother Esau presents. And Esau said the same thing, "I have enough." And that's what contentment is. I have enough. Amen. I don't need to be separated from you, brother, sister. I remember when my parents both died. They both died next month, March. It'd be 11 years for my mother and 9 years for my dad. And when they both died, I can recall I was the executor of their will. And I said to my sisters, I said, "Now we're going to open the will after their funeral. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about whatever little," they didn't have anything left. And my sisters both said this, "Jack, whatever the will is, you just handle it. We don't need more." And we separated three ways. You know, I have such, one sister's in heaven now, the other one's still alive. I've had such good sisters. They didn't want to fight over things. They didn't want to lawyer up over things. And they just wanted it to be fair. And if fair meant I get everything and they get nothing, that was okay. You know, that's the kind of Christian I want to be.
Amen.
And so God's word says, it is enough. The first thing he says, I've learned. And secondly, he says, I have enough. And the third thing is 1 Timothy, 2 minutes left. 1 Timothy in chapter number 6, please, and we'll be done. But godliness, chapter 6, verse 6. Let's read chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Ready? Begin. But godliness, let's read verse 8. And having food and raiment. You know, the third thing God's saying, just stick with the basics. Just the basics. Amen. Amen. Whatever's basic is what you need.
Amen.
Many of you are, living in little apartments. And that's where you live. And I know there's nothing wrong with trying to save money to get a house. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're going to wind up in an apartment when it's all, you get old anyway. Be content where you're at.
Amen.
If you're driving a Ford, ask God to get rid of it as soon as possible. If you're driving a car, then just pray about it. Just pray about it. God, what do you want me to do? You know, I was never that way when I was young. I'd just go get a car. But I'm spending time these days praying, is it time? No, it's not time. So I'm not going to go get a different car. I want to be content with what God has given. It doesn't mean I'll never get anything else in life. But God says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
I know, I go back to Brother Van Dyke. we don't want any more. We got enough, don't we? But we found there's joy in giving.
Amen.
My wife has found that joy in giving to people. I want you to think about contentment tonight. Father, I love these people so much. God, help us to be content with what you've given to us, what we have in life, our station, our position.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.